I had already asked Dr. Ken Hay, who and his wife have been here for the last couple days, and I said, this is a rare opportunity for us men to have him in our session. And so I told them that I was going to ask him to give a little bit of report on what the situation in starting the Wilds Christian Camp here, and kind of give it to you from the founder's standpoint. And so Doc Hay is here, and they've given a microphone to him, and he's going to tell us, he's going to let us know a little bit about the founding. So ladies, you get in on that as well. So Doc Hay, this is your time. Oh, I guess he's going to come up here. Why don't I get you a chair to sit in so you don't have to stand all that time?
I'd rather stand.
Oh, well, if you get tired, you have to understand Dr. Hay had a stroke, I don't know how long ago. Here you go. Oh, man. Remember, this is my basketball buddy. You going to stand? I'll sit. That'll be great. I appreciate it. I'll stand and make sure he doesn't fall, okay? He started the place and owns the place, he doesn't own it, but I mean, you know, so he gets to do what he wants to do.
The first time I was at this place, I was in the air. I was about 50 feet higher. This was that high. And I stood and I was looking over and I said, we got a ball field. And over here we can put the girls, and over there we can put the boys. And I just stood, and that was here. We took the dirt that was here and built the dam for the lake. So this was the first time I was at this place, but it was up there. And someday we'll all be going up there.
Amen.
Psalm 71, verse 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-haired or bald, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come.
Amen.
For 10 years, I was teaching at Bob Jones University. I was on administration and started a Bible Institute there. And we had, in the 17 years I was there, we had over 50 missionaries come out of that program. Amen. When I was in high school, a junior, I went to camp so I could meet some girls. God had a different plan. Sitting two-thirds back in the auditorium, the invitation was given. I was on my knees, and God called me to the mission field. And so I went to college. I went to Bob Jones University. I had opportunities to play in any basketball team in the West Coast and the Big Ten. Every one of the teams inquired about my basketball and playing there. And my coach said I was a fool. I could go and get free undergraduate, and then I could go to seminary. If I went to school to play basketball, I would probably not ever be able to finish the call that God gave me to be a missionary. After I graduated from Bob Jones, and we worked working towards our master's degree, and I was teaching Bible and PE. My wife was teaching home ec, and we got our master's degree And during that time, we had the guy that started. What's the
Genesis Marketing?
Pardon?
You think about marketing, the businessman?
Yeah, talking. You'll have to forgive me. I had this stroke about five months ago, and I think my brain is way up there. Campus Crusade.
Bill Bright.
And Bill Bright, he and his wife were in my office. He was sitting on my desk. We were praying that God would help the situation with Billy Graham and all that. He was crying. In fact, I had a desk that was mahogany, and his tears, it was the rest of that year, his tears had spotted the top of my desk. Mm. And God had done some wonderful, wonderful things. And I was accepted to go to Lebanon to be in the American University for Campus Crusade. That summer, the program, Billy Graham talked him, the leader of that program, to join them. And I could not work with them. I know I may have created some questions in your mind, but we don't worry about that. I say this to let you know that the school had asked me to start the Institute of Christian Service. And when this all happened, I told them, no, I am going to the mission field. And I prepared, when I was in school, I was doing a lot of speaking about the Muslims. I studied them and how they work and all that. But what happened was I went back to the dean and I said, I don't know what's happened, but I got turned down by 10. I had 10 different mission boards that I wrote to, and I got turned down by every one of them. Man, I mean, my wife and I were spiritual leadership in the vintage. We were working and teaching, and what a shock. Well, I found out that I think that there were some things going on, and they decided that my dad is a Pentecostal, was a Pentecostal preacher. And they were worried about me being Pentecostal. Mm-hmm. It didn't take me very long at Bob Jones University not to be Pentecostal. So, for 17 years, I headed up the Institute of Christian Service, and God met my need for my call, because missions, that's what I was really hitting. And we had about 50 of them that came from there. So I was working in my missions call. And then God laid on my heart a camp. Every summer, my wife and I would go out with the family, and we directed camps. Ken Collier, who is the president here, was one of our campers in Alabama, and he's been with us ever since. And when I announced Mission Prayer Band that God's giving us a camp, he came right to me. He says, "That's what I want to do." What a blessing this man is.
Amen.
He is one of the greatest servants. He taught me how to be a servant. Mm. And I praise God for him. But Dr. Fremont, who was the Dean of School of Education, Bob Jones, and I prayed with each other, and I would go to the offices, and we'd pray 3 or 4 times a week. We always prayed, God, give us a camp in the Southeast. And 10 years, God said, go. We had 2 couples over for supper, and they were sitting there at the table, and they were talking about going to the bank, borrowing money, and building apartments, which were built, Northway Apartments in East North Street in Greenville. While they were talking, I burned. I wonder if this is how the disciples on the road to Emmaus burned in their heart as Jesus talked to them. And I just burned. And I said, if you guys had enough faith to go out and borrow money to build apartments, why can't I have enough faith to believe God can give us the money to make a camp?
Amen.
And folks, that night, I had an all-night conversation with God. And I planned a camp. And I remembered that there was a guy there at school who became part of our organization. He was walking across the bridge there in front of the campus. And he stopped me. He says, hey, I understand you are interested in camping. I said, I sure am. He said, well, so am I. And he walked on. Now, this guy drove a $200,000 car. He was very wealthy. I didn't even know his name. I found it out quickly. And he said, I'll give you $1 million.
Amen.
So we started hunting for property. And this was the second piece of property that we looked at. We looked at a piece of property near Greenville. It was 2,000 acres. This is 1,000 acres. But it the first one we looked at, and Carl stepped some way on a where bees are.
Carl Blythe, not Carl Herbster. Just wanted to clarify, because I wish I could have been a part of that beginning, but I wasn't. Okay.
And he was he started swelling, and we had to go back to his house. We had a Jeep, and as I drove, it was getting worse and worse for him. He said, hurry up, go faster. Man, I was going 80 miles an hour. We went to his house, got his car, and I drove to the hospital there at Barge at Bob Jones, and we almost lost him. He almost died. God spared him. And what is this? We're hunting for a camp. Is God telling us, hey, give it up? Forget it. No, I think we took the fact that God says, hey, are you going to be chicken? are you going to let things like this bother you? And we kept going. I would love to be able to tell you some of the stories in those early days where we met a man, two men out on the looking out at the waterfalls, and they were looking for this camp, this property, for a man down in Columbia. And I asked him to give me his telephone number, and I wanted to talk to him. And What you need to do is to buy the Wilds history book.
How many of you have that already? Okay.
Oh, great.
Talk it up to all your friends and in the bookstore. He's getting your interest up, and that tells you a lot more details. Yeah. So
we'll move on here a little bit. I wanted to let you know that here at the camp, we had some real problems with the workers, and we weren't ready when camp started. The first day, the first year, 1969, we had three camps that week. We had a staff training week, then three. We had teens, junior high, and juniors. We had about 550. My wife and I were working with camps every summer for 15 years. And so we were known, and they came. The water would go out just as it's time for the cooking to take place. And the lights wouldn't work. It was a mess. They had to take their baths in this creek. we just were really kind of stretched out. I stood up in front of those teenagers the first week. And I stood down right down there. They were sitting on the floor, and I apologized that we didn't have things like they should be. And the people started, the campers, after I apologized, they stood up and they clapped for 7 minutes, and they started to sing. W stands for wonderful. I means it's idea. L is for something.
Loving God.
Loving God and living life with Him, yeah. D is for doing right. S for save to serve. W-I-L-D-S spells Wilds, Wilds, Wilds. Well, what happened was Frank Garlock got a quartet up, and they sang, W stands for wilderness. I means I got lost. L stands for leaky pipes and lights that did not work. L is for
D.
What?
D is for.
I'm sorry. My mind, I lost my mind 5 months ago. And D is for droopy drawers. Oh. D is for droopy drawers. S for snakes and sand. W-I-L-D-S spells work, work, work. Quote with me Philippians, or Philip, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That week, that first week of camp, prior to the fact that we had anything going, we had the bookstore downstairs, or the canteen down there, and one of our fellows who was a high school senior, he was working with us. We had 25 folks from Bob Jones come and work with us the 2 months prior to August 4th. And he was down there, and he's a pastor that now, he's been a pastor now for many years up in North Carolina. But he was a high school senior, and he was down in line waiting to get served prior to anything started, and he led the first soul to the Lord, a young man from Columbia, South Carolina. Trusted Christ before we had any services or anything. And God just put his stamp of approval on it.
Amen.
And we praise him. I'll have to stop here, but I got a whole list of things. So he has to not be long-winded today. But 10 years of prayer. I want to emphasize this. 10 years of prayer. Amen. That is why God gets the glory. Amen. I get congratulated and I'm thanked and all this. Folks, I didn't do it. I just kind of, my wife and I just put our hands on the rope of Jesus. Amen. And he drug us. He gets the glory. It's all of him. That night that God said, go, I tell you, my wife, I hear her talking about it. She tells about this, me standing up here in the top on this rock, 50 feet up. And she just said how and I don't remember everything I said, but she does. And it just, hey, we got here, we can do this, we can do that. And it was a wonderful thing. The money, we were in debt for 8 years. We never borrow anything since then.
Amen.
And folks, we need your prayers. We count on your prayers. We need churches to put us in their missions budget. People think because of all that God's done that you don't need any money. We have to really trust the Lord.
Amen.
We need to have campers. We can take more campers. We just got 100 more junior campers every week. But we've gone down a little bit since 2008. We went down from 11,800 campers to 10,000. So we're not sitting on saying, okay, you know, everything's hunky-dory. Do you know why I got bald? That loan, that $1 million became a loan. When we got everything done, ready to go to camp, camper's not come yet, nobody's paid anything yet, and guess what? We owed $800,000. God, I don't know how he did it, but he took care of it in 8 years. Well, I could go on. I've got a little. My statement is, it was the prayer of 10 years that God has you blessed, and he gets the glory.
Amen.
We want you to know that. My missions call, it was fulfilled. Training missionaries, come here and preaching and trying to get mission, the young people, God to call young people to be missionaries.
Amen.
Foreign missionaries. Hey, we all should be missionaries wherever we are. We know that. So I just want this to be a call for you to maybe get that book, and I think it's $10 or something. And we did it at the 40th year. We have the 50th year this year. But we did it then because we didn't know if we were going to be alive at the 50th.
Amen.
Maybe we won't. So, Thank you so much for all you do, your prayers, your giving, your bringing folks, your telling people about the camp. And we are asking God to help us to be able to do better things for His glory and for His honor.
Thank you, Dr. Hay. Good job. Great. Thank you, man. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. And I even think the sickness of my wife, a trial we can rejoice in, because ladies, you all got to hear this as well as the men. What a treat. And I would encourage you, if you don't have that book, get that book. And if you get it quickly, when are you leaving? This afternoon. You might even get to the Hayes to sign it for you. And that's even very special in the days ahead to have a signed copy of that book. How many of you know the song, W Stands for Wonderful? How many of you? I just don't want to do a solo. Huh? You don't sing anymore? Oh, W stands for wonderful. I means it's ideal. L stands for loving Christ and living life through Him. D stands for doing right. S means serve, save to serve. W-I-L-D-S spells wilds. Wilds, wilds. Okay, let's all try it now. W stands for wonderful. I means it's ideal. L stands for loving Christ and living life through Him. D stands for doing right. S means save to serve. W-I-L-D-S spells wilds, wilds, wilds. That's for you, Dr. and Mrs. Hay. Thank you again for your faithfulness and making sure that we remember that whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, what? God bless you. Well, Dr. Hay told me I can't be long-winded. That's impossible. Because you've heard the three great lies, right? I gave at the office. That's a lie that some people use to get somebody off their front door. Or the check's in the mail. That's a lie you will use to get people off the telephone so that you can write the check quickly and get it in the mail. I'm from the federal government. I've come to help you. That's a lie that we all know about. But then there's this one. I'm an independent Baptist preacher and have a few words to say. Take that one home to your pastor, right? And of course, it can work for the Presbyterians too, as some that I've listened to, all right? So I know that we as preachers sometimes think we only get one shot at you. But here's what I've decided to do, because I have a session tonight as well with just the adults. So bring your hand out back. All right? I actually do host series on the discipline of children, so I got plenty of stuff to say about in disciplining children. And since the children aren't with us, this is a good time to do it this morning and this evening when they're not in the session. I was going to do this tomorrow, but because of my wife's situation, I said we'll do it now in case she feels better and she can handle her session tomorrow, and we'll just have to see. That's, again, in the Lord's hands. No guarantees I'm not giving you any guarantees that she's going to be better, but I'm praying that she'll be better, and I know she would be a blessing to the ladies. But I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 if you're a parent. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4 if you're a grandparent. Now, I understand if you're a grandparent, you're also a... But can't you go to two places in the Bible at the same time? Can you handle that all right? Can you put your hand in Ephesians chapter 4 and turn back to Ephesians chapter 6 and back to Deuteronomy chapter 4? And I'm only doing this because I want to make sure that grandparents understand they're not finished with their role yet of working with their grandchildren. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9 it says this, "Only take heed to thyself, keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." And sometimes that's literal. The sister of my wife and her husband, who we saw go to the grave, both of them, this year, and therefore go to heaven, because they both knew Christ as their Savior, raised their grandchildren to adulthood because of a wayward child. I don't know if there's anybody else in this room that had to do that, but I praise the Lord for grandparents who are willing to step in even when their children blow it. Instead of just complaining about their children blowing it, they say, yeah, but life's not over yet. And God's not finished with that daughter yet either, and we still have a ministry to her, and we're thinking maybe this is some wake-up calls, and even though now she has a granddaughter as well, we're praying that she'll get right with the Lord or get saved, and she made a profession. But I've seen grandparents do that. I've seen grandparents who, because their children couldn't afford Christian education, have decided to fund the education of their grandchildren so they could have Christian education. When grandparents take over for parents, so you have a little break, right? Do you help them or do you hurt them? I'm just saying all this because even as grandparents sitting here rejoicing that your job of raising your children is gone, you still have a task to perform in being a help to your children. Might not be like my wife had to do and come and live here and take care of five children and a son who lost his wife, but it could be. We don't know what's happening. So as we now turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, and we see the responsibility that we have as parents, and maybe not everyone in this room is a parent yet, but it's very possible that you could be someday, and we all need to be prepared. Ephesians 6 and verse 4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." See, it takes the right managers to build your children. It takes the right managers to build your children. And I said that plural. Did you see that? Even though here it says, "And ye fathers." It's putting the responsibility on the fathers. But what did we learn earlier in the week about the husband-wife relationship? It is a one flesh relationship. The two become one flesh. So when we see fathers, we're talking about parents. We're talking about the husband and wife together. Yes, the husband is the what? Loving leader. And the wife is the what? The submissive helper. We've talked about those biblical roles. And men aren't... Men, are you ready? Okay, good. We had a big day yesterday, okay? So I think you're ready. But I just want to make sure you're ready. Praise the Lord that God gave us a helper. Yeah. Whew, okay, ladies. And it's coming from the heart, ladies. I want you to know it's coming from the heart. But that's what good managers do, you know? They delegate, they get other people to come along and help, and praise the Lord for the help. But here's what we need to know. Parents must accept responsibility. May I say that again? Parents must accept responsibility. It's not the responsibility of the government to raise our children. Even though parents came together and churches came together early on in our country and said, hey, why don't we work together in this? And there's nothing wrong with working together and co-oping together to get people that can work with our children, and nothing wrong with having schools. But you can't blame the school for what happens with your children. If that school's not helping you, you ought to put them in a different school, or as some of you have done, you need to home educate them so that you can bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's your responsibility and it's your choice. Hold on. You can't blame the church for your children. The church isn't helping you. The church that you're attending isn't helping you with your children. Then find a different church. And I've told people, if you have to move, get a different job, do whatever, remember your priorities. Because you're going to have your children the rest of your life. And you're going to grieve or you're going to rejoice the rest of your life. There's nothing that you shouldn't be willing to do for your children to make sure that they love and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But how many people blame the church or blame the youth pastor or blame the school, even if it's a Christian school? No, take responsibility. Managers have authority, yes. And you have the ultimate authority, but guess what? Managers also have responsibility. Anybody else here that was in management of some type and you had people working under you? I had 7 salesmen under me in Chicago, Illinois, and I had a responsibility for them. And when my boss would come in from out of town to check on some problem in one of the territories, who did he talk to? Why did he talk to me? Because I was the manager. I was the guy in charge. Well, parents, you're the ones in charge. And ultimately, sir, you like being the leader, right? Well, step up and take the responsibility. Because you are the responsible party. Remember, if there's a spiritual discussion going on in your home with your wife, which we all have had from time to time, we don't call them fights because we don't fight in Christian homes. But sometimes we have some spiritual discussions. And, our voices may sometimes go a little louder unnecessarily, but they do. Would some of the rest of you at least smile so it doesn't think it's just my household, okay? And who's responsible to make up, men? Yeah. Ladies, you're gonna lie. And I don't know if they'll practice it or not, but I'm just telling you that because it's my responsibility to say, hon, I'm sorry for getting all upset about this. I'm sorry. Can't we just pray about this? Can't we? Let's ask the Lord what we should do. Men, we're responsible. Now, I know I haven't always taken my responsibility, whether it's with my wife or with my children. But I'll tell you what I've learned to do when I don't. Say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And you know what? My wife and my children have forgiven me every time. And if you've never had to apologize, sir, to your wife or to your children, you have a problem in your home, I'll guarantee you. Because you have failed your wife and you have failed your children as a leader, and you have really failed them if you're not teaching them how to admit that failure. God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. So humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due season. You see, we have the responsibility, men, as the fathers. We're the managers. Our wives are there with us, and praise the Lord for a godly wife that'll come alongside and help. But even in that responsibility, men, you can't pass the buck to your wife. Well, it's the wife. That's the problem because she said this or she did that or whatever. No. It's your problem. Get it fixed. And get some help to get it fixed if you need help. That's what pastors are all about. That's what Christian workers are all about. That's what other Christian homes are all about. But parents must accept responsibility. Number two, parents must accept assistance. Parents must accept assistance. Aren't you glad for the wonderful people that God puts into the lives of our children? I mean, I am so thankful for counselors at the Wilds. My sons would sometimes come back from camp, and say, Dad, my counselor said this, and my counselor said that, my counselor wants this, and I'm going to do it because my counselor is a cool guy. And I'm thinking, I've been saying that for a while myself. Right? But who cares as long as he's getting it? After all, it's from the Lord. Or coach said this, and coaches, I've had godly coaches working with my children. Praise the Lord for those godly coaches that live the life before them and help them to learn how to play the sport. And coach said this, and coach is going to do that. I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. I even had Matt come home one time. You know, Matt, from the wilds. And we always had testimonies with the young people in the church. And he said, I was so thrilled to be at the camp and hear my favorite preacher, Tom Farrell. And I was sitting on the platform. And of course, you probably noticed Matt is a quick wit, quick on his feet. And he said, my favorite evangelist, because everybody was doing like you. And I said, thank you, son. I'm still his favorite pastor. Great, I made it. But who cares? What's our goal? That they'll grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and we need to use other people. And there's some movement going around that almost like says, parents have to do everything with their children. Nobody else should be involved. Can I have you look at a passage of Scripture just to kind of debunk that thought? Nothing wrong with using other people. Galatians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But he is under tutors. The child is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the... So other people can be used. This is an illustration, but it's a biblical illustration that shows us that God wouldn't use a bad illustration. And he's saying, hey, this is the way it works with parents. They pick the right people to put them under. They determine who that will be. But I'm submitting to you, I love having my children with other people that believe the way I believe and teach the way I teach and illustrate what I illustrate by their life. At Tri-City, our many years, we drove halfway around the world to get our young people under godly young people or under good preaching because there wasn't a lot right in our area. And at the time, we would come all the way down here to the wilds, go all the way to the wilds of the Rockies, and there were other activities going on through the years that we take our Christian school young people to because we wanted them to see godly young people. And we wanted them to be under them. Don't neglect the opportunity of... But remember, he that walketh with the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed, Proverbs 13 and verse 20. Make sure that you're putting them with wise people, not foolish people, but we should accept assistance from other people and not be afraid of that and realize in the body of Christ there are many gifts and God uses a lot of people. And then number three, parents must start early. Now, some of you say, it's too late for me. They're teenagers. Well, start over. If you haven't been raising them properly, you haven't been handling situations properly, have a family meeting, apologize, and start now. But the best thing is for these that have these little babies to start training them out. Remember Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Here, what's it say? Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4. Because I submit to you, if you don't train them, they will train you. And especially when you have three boys, all under the age of two, and if one's not crying, the other one is. You know, you try to get them to bed, and meow, meow, meow. Going, okay, everything okay. Check them out, go back. Meow, meow, meow. Okay, here we go. Now, if they need to be changed, tell your wife they need to be changed. No. If they need to be fed, feed them. If they're tangled up in their toys, whatever. But if they're just crying to get your attention and just trying to get you to come, after about the third or fourth time, the children inside are going, I got them. See, children aren't supposed to train us. We're supposed to train them and get them onto a schedule. And it's amazing to me, even elementary children, teenage children, and I'd be a school administrator and the parents come in and say, Johnny, do you want to go to this Christian school? Yuck. Since when does Johnny make the decision? Where are the parents? And how many times do I see parents that are intimidated by their children instead of lovingly directing their children? So it takes the right managers who accept responsibility, who accept assistance, and who start early. Now, bring your handouts back to the session tonight. And we will continue on with some more instruction in Ephesians 6:4, which says what? Together? And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.